Right, I'm on mic and everything. As loud as I am, I don't need a mic, but praise God. Hey, I want to warn you guys up front in advance, this message today won't be totally just uplifting you like normally, okay? Because that's not my intention. It may be a little sobering and hopefully informative and motivating as well, okay? Now, as you realize, this country's in trouble. 2020 has been an extraordinary year, just to put it lightly. People use words like horrendous, terrible, can't wait for it to be over. In my lifetime, I've never seen anything like it. So, you know, I started pondering about that. And, the pastor invited me to talk with you guys. And I said, okay, what am I going to talk about? And God reminded me of an incident I had the other day, just going to the store or whatever. I always listen to my Bible in the car. And I just happened to be in Matthew 24. And if you guys remember, that's Jesus in Mount Olive. And he started talking about the countries or nations that, you know, turned away from God and all the bad stuff that happened. I'll get more into it a little bit. But anyway, as I'm listening to this, and at the tail end, he talked about Jesus coming back as a thief in the night, and I'll get into that as well. And such times, my mind started thinking about this country and how, you know, what is going on here is, you know, pretty much the same thing. Yeah, granted, you know, 2,000 years later, we have more creature comforts, et cetera. But, you know, we think about the last 8 months, you had fires. They call it a gigafire. I never heard of that. A million plus acres of land is burned up, people's houses, et cetera. Hurricanes back to back. I think we're on number 26 now. Who's ever heard of that? And pestilence, and then crime, and war, and all the rest of the stuff going at there. Trying to figure out why God is allowing, all this to happen. So when I was invited to chat, I knew exactly what I was going to talk to you guys about. So I came across an article. Commentary, if you will, where it compared ancient Israel and the United States. And it's amazing the similarity between the two nations, okay? Yeah, we got greater technology and we got all the creature comforts and all that, but people haven't changed. The people today are making the same mistakes that they made back there in Israel. And being one of the few Christian societies or nations in this world, God has taken a special interest in what we're doing in this country, okay? In fact, I consider convergence of all these other catastrophic disasters or whatever that's been coming out as a wake-up call to this nation. And it's a sign or a message from heaven that we better get our stuff together, okay? Or we're going to face the same fate as Israel did, okay? So I want to read just a couple of verses that stirred me up in the beginning, and I'll tell you a little bit about that in a second. First of all, Matthew 24, verse 6, it says, "And ye hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet, for nation shall rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places." Now, I'm not going to read all of this, but the whole 24 is like I'm sitting there listening to it in the car, and I'm just starting to reflect on what's going on with the country, and it just got me more and more motivated. And then my verse of the day is at the end where Jesus said, "Watch therefore, ye know not what hour your Lord doth come, but know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house being broken. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh." Now, I looked at all three of the Gospels because I'm listening to all three of them, but that wasn't the one that got me. The one that got me was in Mark Mark chapter 13, and I'm going to read this because I'll read it, then I'll tell you what my reaction was. It says, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." And I'm listening to the narrator, and when he said that, I started looking out in the sky. Because he said it in a way, I said, is God telling me you better watch? And say, yeah, he's telling you better watch. So anyway, I talked to you a little bit about this comparison, because I was praying. I said, God, why are you allowing Satan to do or put all this misery on us? Why would he do that? First, that was a wrong statement, because it wasn't God that's sending. I mean, it wasn't Satan that's sending all this. God's sending a sign to us, a message for us, that we better to get together. So this is from heaven, as is said in 21:1 of Mark, Luke. Luke 21:11. Give me 1 second. I'll try to find it. There we go. "And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven." So that was my first mistake, thinking that God just took a little bit of this hedge of protection from us and let Satan have his will. No, this is signs from God, okay? And the other thing that the author of this commentary, this comparison said, her name's not important, but she's a Methodist, and okay, yeah, but I do believe she was saved. She said that God is doing this not because of the unsaved out there, the people that don't know God. He's doing this because he's disappointed in us being the family of God, the saved folks, in that we are straying, just slowly straying more and more away from God. And this whole comparison just shows different instances of this. So I wanted to read this. She got her top 10. Now, granted, you can probably put 50 of them in there, but she got 10, I'll go quickly through them. One, they did not remember how good God had been to us. Let's face it. The United States are spoiled brats. The reason why we can't get our hands around this corona or whatever it is because we're spoiled and we all want to do our own thing. How dare you tell me I got to wear a mask, okay? Just a political announcement. Wear a mask. It's the only protection we have out there to keep us from getting that stupid thing. And you don't want that stupid thing, despite what anybody says, okay? We got houses, cars, plenty of food. Even the poorest person in this country lives better than some people that live in some of these godforsaken places, you know, where there's no running water, et cetera. So, you know, like I said, we live to excess, and we don't even thank God. We don't even recognize God. We think it's all our own doing, okay? And that's one of the things. We're spoiled rotten. The second thing it says, we bow down to idols and images. Now, you can think of some of the people that just love their best football star, or their best Hollywood star, and all those people that are alive now. But I'm thinking more, how about Islam? Where they worship Muhammad, who was a man, who died, okay? He's not a god, he died, all right? But yet, they given all homage to him as opposed to God of Jehovah, okay? And then our biggest stumbling block, our biggest idol, is these little green pieces of paper with these dead men on them called money, okay? We will kill people, we will do anything we can to get more of it. And the more you have, the more you get idolized, if you will. It's a pitiful thing, because in my mind, one person, I don't care how poor they are, just one God's creation is worth all these green pieces of paper out there. That's my own I said that to Jonathan once. So they're talking about the economy. I don't care about the economy. I care about the lives of people, okay? But that's just throwing that out there. Okay, the third one, they forgot about their Savior. And it goes along with the next one. You know, we as Christians are becoming more and more compromising. We want to get along with the Jewish people. We want to get along with the Muslims. In fact, the girl told an instance where they allowed Muslim service to be in an Episcopal church. And these guys are screaming Allah to the rooftop in God's house. And it's like, really? 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 There's other instances of it, though. They took prayer out of church, out of school. I was in 1963, I was in the third grade, and I remember we say the Pledge of Allegiance and then we'd say a prayer. Nix that, you know, that was done. And now they also took it out to the government. They just basically, you know, the whole thing about you can't have the Ten Commandments outside of your church or outside your thing. It's ridiculous. Now they're going after Christmas. You can't even say Christmas anymore. It's not politically correct to say Christmas. You have to say Happy Holidays or whatever mess that they do. All right, so, you know, it's another example, you know. They despise their heritage. Yeah. And that hits all of us because as our kids, then they have kids. They're moving further and further away from God. My kids didn't have no choice. When they were this big, they were coming to church. We come to church, they come to church, and praise God they stuck with it. But some of these parents is like, well, I'll let them make their own choices. I said, not at 5, 10 years, 10 years old. I'm making the choices for them. You're going to be a man, a person of God in my house, you know. So anyway, and what's worse is the kids who don't have a real firm foundation are having kids now, and they don't even know how to spell Jesus. They don't know who he is. And so we are drifting further and further. Generations, these millennial X's or whatever, are moving further and further away from God, okay? So it said compromising. Yeah, we're always compromising on our values. I just talked about that with allowing monies to govern. You know, you got the televangelists on TV telling you these feel-good sermons, but not telling you the truth on what you really need to do. They're making tons of money. They're very successful. Houses full of people, but they're not telling the truth to the people. So those are the compromises that you're dealing with. They tempted God. How many times that we just thumb our nose up to God? This COVID thing is one example. God sent us down here to wake us up and said, it's no big deal. People are going out and gathering these mass gatherings and spreading it all over the place. And you know, in God's face. And this is, you're gonna get a lesson on that, okay? The fire floods and basically the whole idea of global warming. You gotta figure out something on why we got so many mass fires and hurricanes coming, you know, and start trying to do something about it. And then the fourth from the last is they rebelled against the Holy Spirit. Man, I'll tell you, half these churches don't even talk about the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah. People here know the word Jesus and they know God the Father. And so, and there's the Holy Spirit. They don't know that once you get saved, that Holy Spirit lives in you. And he directs you and keeps you out of trouble and tells you what to do and keep you in the right path. You know, they don't understand that. And that's what we are here to do. We got to tell them that because they don't have a clue. So they refuse to carry out God's orders, God's commandments. And that's halfway on us, you know. He says, go ahead and spread the gospel to everybody, and we'll just sit in our easy chairs, and we'll get to it. If we can, we'll send a track to you, or whatever, you know. But we participate in every movie and stuff. Guilty, all the evil stuff on TV, et cetera, you know, the movies, et cetera, and we fill our minds with this stuff, you know, and wonder why we're so cynical about the world, you know. And like I said, I'm not a hypocrite on this. I'm just as guilty, and I'm a big guilty. In fact, I feel like Paul, I'm the chiefest of sinners, okay? So this is not just saying. And the last one, number one, we sacrifice our sons and daughters. Think of abortion. You almost say nothing else after that. But if not that, how about the needless war? Because one guy's ego gets bruised by some other dictator and he puts us in a war and have young 18, 20 years old getting killed out there, okay? So those were the top 10 that she said. And you know, as I started looking more, I said, let's look at just a few verses where the similarity, you tell me if the similarities between us and ancient Israel. And when they fast, I will not hear their cries. And when they offer burnt offerings or oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by famine and by pestilence. That's Jeremiah 14:12. But they that are rich fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown man in destruction and perdition. That's 1 Timothy 9. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Let's see, how about this one? Jeremiah 26, 4 through 6. And you will say to them, thus saith the Lord, if you will not listen to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to listen to the word of my servants and the prophets, whom I have been sending to you again and again, but you have not listened, then I will make the house like Shiloh, and this city I will make a curse to all the nations of the earth. Oh my goodness, it just reeks of the United States doing what we're doing today. And I tell you, I really, really got woke up with that. So I don't want to take too much time to want to pick out a few of those. And so what do we do? You know, here we are, knowing that Jesus is, God is disappointed a little bit in what we're doing and how we're straying away. How do we start turning back, okay? I'm looking at this room and you guys come every week. I believe that 99% of you guys are saved. That is the first step. That's number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you're not saved, don't leave this place without being saved. It's just as simple as saying, please, I believe in God. I'm sorry for my sins. Please, Lord, come into my house, my heart and help me. Amen. Just that simple. And boom, automatically you become a fan, part of the family of God. So we know as saved people, we know that whatever happens when we take our last breath, we're going to be communing with God in heaven. Life is going to be good, et cetera, okay? Let's set that aside, and let's talk about what we can do here while we're on this earth, okay? One, we got to trust the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind. Commune, talk to him daily. He's your best friend. Holy Spirit's right there. Thank him daily for all that he does, all the blessings he gives me. I'm constantly thanking him that he gives you in your life, okay? Yeah, don't be afraid to ask him for what you want. Whatever it is, you know, he's going to listen. Now, he may not say yes, but he will actually listen to you. And he loves you, and he wants to give you all best. Love your family. Love all your relatives. Love your neighbor, it says. And that means strangers, people that you haven't met yet. I try my best to be a blessing to every soul that I encounter, whether it be just a smile and a friendly hello, or I can do something for them to help them. I don't know whether I know them or not. Well, whatever, they're saved or whatever, they're a child of God, and you got to remember that. Both the unsaved and saved are children of God. They just haven't heard the word yet, or they haven't believed it or whatever, but they're still people, and they deserve to be treated like God wants us to treat everybody, to love them, okay? Share the gospel to all those who listen. You guys are wonderful at that. We just continue to do that. As we encounter people, make sure that they're saved, okay? Live and enjoy life to the fullest because Quite frankly, we don't know when God's the last breath is going to be gone from you, okay? So I just have a wonderful time. I praise him every day. Whatever's happening out there, I praise him for my family, for all that you guys that I love, and just try to do the best I can with my life and thank him for all the blessings that he give me. And then the last one is don't get emotionally affected to the point where it just causes you to stop living on circumstances and challenges that come your way, because they're going to come. They're going to come. Loved ones are going to die, okay? It's just a fact, okay? We don't know when. God has his own timetable for each one of us. We just have to accept it, and we move on in the direction that he wants us to. Just don't let it be something that just totally destroys you, because it's just a known fact. Everybody's going to die. Something's going to happen. Your house may burn up or whatever. That's why, oh, don't get too attached to your stuff, because it's not your stuff. It's his stuff anyway. And he wants to take it, and he can take it. All right. And finally, love others a lot and just try your best to be loved. Have fun and enjoy your journey. So with that, let us pray. God, thank you for the words, allowing me to have some words. It ain't nothing else, just to get people thinking about what's going on in this country. Well, Lord, yeah, we apologize for any shortcomings we have. We know we sin every day, and we just ask you to forgive us for all that we do. And continue to guide this country out of this turmoil and in back into the light. And Lord, we're promised we'll do our part to try to be better soldiers for you, better ministers, better examples that others can follow, Lord. So once again, I thank you for everything you do in my life, and thank you for all these wonderful people. Continue to watch over them and bless them as well. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Amen.